in my Father's house. Amen. You know, he went to prepare. He didn't went to build or manufacture. It's already there. He just to prepare for us. So when we are ready, we can just take over. That's all. Amen. He had that prepared before the foundation of the world, you know, waiting. He's more anxious waiting for his children to come, return back home than you are to return back home. Amen. That's the kind of God that we serve. Thank you, musicians. Well, again, pray for our pastor. He has a little situation, so he's had to go and see the doctors and get some things done. So as soon as he gets his result, we believe in that, and you know, we trust in God that everything will be fine. Amen. So tonight we are going to revisit again. My favorite subject is wisdom. And I've spoken before about wisdom, and I have mentioned it many times. But you know, we are just not perfect enough to bring everything in one sermon. You know, how can you take the whole Bible and condense it in 45 minutes or an hour? So you know, you got different angles. And the more I progress and the more I grow, the more I learn and the more I add to what I already have. So that's what I want to do. I wanted to revisit and I want to add some things because it is a subject that is important in this age. You're going to see it in the same time. Just as important as having that Holy Ghost. Amen. That we preached last week. And thank you for being here and your attention. Sure appreciate you guys. So let us read from James. Chapter 3, verse 15 and 17. So we are going to discuss about heavenly wisdom and versus demonic flesh wisdom, because that's what we are against it, okay? So James chapter 3, 15, let's start with 13, I guess. Whatever I have there, 13, okay. Who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work. So if you think you're there and you want to be, you know, in this situation, James was addressing those that wanted to be, you know, in charge and wanted to be the master, the teacher. So he says, if you think that that's where you are, then let me show me your conduct by your work. Right. And then we can judge that. Yeah. See? But not because you're telling me that you are there, right. That means you are there. Right. Let me see your life. Because your life will prove what you're talking about. We can say all kind of things, but it is there. We can know all the message. We can know all the Bible. We can memorize everything. But is it there? It is just working in our life. That's what we care about. It is not how much you know, but how much of that you are showing is what we care about. Okay? He said, for good conversation, work, and wait. On top of that, okay, if that's not enough, then humble yourself. Okay? Don't be proud. Well, I think I can do a better job than that. I think I can play better than that guy. I think I can sing. Well, hey, you know, meekness of wisdom. And then, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends from above, not from above. So if we are still striving and fighting and bickering, and that is not wisdom from above. It's from below. But it's earthly, sensual, devilish. So like a devil, like a devil's eggs. No, whatever. I can't, those words for me, and my tongue don't roll like it's supposed to roll in English. I can roll in Spanish, but English. For where envying and strife is, there is a confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated. So that means you don't have to worry about, you know, getting close to somebody and it's going to yell at you, you know. Yeah. Don't worry, you're safe, you know. Among people that are that way, you can approach them and they will be nice. Not because you are nice to them, it's because that's the wisdom of above. And we're going to see where all that ends up. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be interested, entreated, I'm sorry, for full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. I don't care who you are, what color you are, where you came from, where you're going. God don't have no respect to person but his word. So we should not judge, well, I like you, but I don't like him. But now, these guys are taking over, so let me, no. We all children of God. I don't care what color you are or where you came from. He said, partiality and without what? Yeah, be sincere. Be clear about things. Have the right motive. They have interest, you know. So this is the wisdom that comes from heaven. So I like wisdom because wisdom is like a measuring stick that you can measure yourself. Okay, this is what I'm talking. This is what I'm preaching now. This is what I'm living. Well, let me examine myself. And everybody else, because you can fool, you know, not everybody all the time, but you can fool yourself, but not, you know, God cannot be fooled. Amen? So, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen? So, let us pray. Father, we ask your help tonight once again, Father, as we approach this subject, Father, may you give us, Father, the words. Amen. Father, we set myself aside, Father, take over, Father. And these are your children, Father. These are the purchase of your blood, Father. And we ask you, Father, tonight, that you know what is hard, have need tonight. And you will, Father, provide. Because you said you will provide. And tonight we ask you, Father, to come and make your abode, Father. Come and just go around, Father. Move around every seat, every place, Father. Visit every heart tonight, Father. And when we live here, we can really say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord, Father. We love you and we thank you. Be with our pastor, Lord. Continue touching them, Father. Keep them. We trust that whatever it is, Father, you know. There's no surprises and there's no impossibilities. Father, it's just another test, Father. Another test that will, at the end, we are better than we started with, Father. So we thank you, Father, because you send these things, but you also give us the solution, the way out of these things, Father. You are not just waiting for us to figure it out. We don't have to figure anything out. We just have to trust you and have faith, Father, that you are our healer, you are our deliverance, you are help in time of trouble, Father. And we put our trust in you. Thank you, Father. Have your way tonight in every heart, from the pulpit to the back door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you can be seated. So, wisdom is not a gift, even though there's a gift of wisdom. But this wisdom we are talking about is not a gift. Actually, it's just like character. Character is not a gift. It's a victory. You have to fight for it. You have to go for it. And this victory just don't happen one day and I'm done. It's a process. And you have to fight for it all the way from beginning all the way until we leave this place. Like brother was preaching about, you know, we have to take the kingdom by force. Not just one time. That's every day. It's an inch at a time. We're foot at a time. The problem is not taking the kingdom one foot at a time. It's just to keep that foot. That's where the work is at. Once you take it, it's yours. Now, to keep it. Because Satan is not going to sit there and say, oh, well, I lost that guy. No. He's going to try. He's going to try to beset you, to detour you again. See? But you hold on. You hold on to what God has given you. And you fight and fight. You know? You're not alone. He's fighting those fires for you, but you have to be involved and active. But it's a process. And Jesus says over here Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased with wisdom. That wasn't just from day to night. That was a process. Right. It was increasing every day as he grew. As he grew physically, also he was growing in wisdom. Now, if that was a model and Jesus is our pattern, then you and I have to be growing not only in a stature, in physical sense, but we have to grow in wisdom. So every step you take in this journey is about growing, maturing, and wisdom is your target. Your goal is to get out of here, the rapture. Your goal is to be like him, but wisdom is your target every day that you get up. See, because if that was Jesus, then what about you and me? And in favor, he pleased God. See, in doing so, he was pleasing God. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, but unto them which are called, that's me, Jews and Greek, you know, you're one of them too. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we got that Jesus was the reflection. He was God in flesh, the wisdom of God walking. So if that was God walking wisdom, you know, then you're supposed to have the same thing that he had before, right? Because you're going to be another Christ walking in flesh. So if God was wisdom represented in flesh, then you are supposed to be wisdom at the end. Christ again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you need to have wisdom from beginning to end. And that's what we're trying to acquire here throughout this journey. We want to have that same wisdom. We want God wisdom in our life. Yes. Not only to have it, but to show. Right. Because I told you what wisdom do for you. Peaceful. So Hebrews 6:1, you know this one. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection. Because that's where we want to go. Go into perfection. And to perfection, my goal is to have Christ in me fully. Not just a portion. You know, we're supposed to be Christ-like when we get to that end. That's what the whole process is. So we can have that character and that wisdom. But as you get closer to that, you know if you're getting closer to that or not. You can check yourself with the scriptures. That's your glass. Look at the glass and see where you are. How much wisdom do you have? We're going to see how you can measure yourself. It says, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works, and for faith towards God. See, not some people trying to redefine this, you know, this gospel. You know, they got their own personal revelations. And what they're trying to do is just go back, you know, adding the Trinity, you know, doctrines. You know, they're trying to redefine, you know, what is already being defined. So, and again, the foundation, Andy was talking about the foundation the other day. Laying again the foundation. The foundation is already laid. Jesus Christ already laid the foundation. So we don't have to relay and try to figure out, you know, if God is three or two. That they did in the Council of Nicaea. We don't have to figure out, you know, this and that. It's already been said. When Paul comes around and he edified on top of the already set foundation. That is Christ. And when he built in that foundation, he said, is any angel come from heaven again and try to redefine and restruct, is an antichrist. Anybody that comes against what I preach. See? Because he already Jesus set the foundation and Paul was building the house or building the stone, the living stones for that church, for that body of Christ. So, and that is what we need to look at. And faith towards God. Amen. Everything starts with faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. That is the beginning of every. After you have the foundation, is faith. See? Because without faith, you cannot even start this journey. The Bible tells us that you are saved by grace and then by faith. But this faith is not yours, it's of what? God. So if God don't give you the faith, you can't even get started. But I'm glad that I responded to God. I'm glad that you responded to God. God must have loved me. God must have predestined me because he put that faith in me. So when the message came around, I responded to it. I could not respond to a message if I had the faith of God in me, or Jesus Christ. It's not your faith. It's his faith. So even his faith is your beginning. See? Because I was out there lost and undone without Christ. I didn't have no faith to believe a message. God has to save you. God has to clean you. God has to put these things on you. See, it is God's word from beginning to end. So nobody can glory in his presence. Amen. Hebrews 4 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. You know this. You're familiar with this. But we need to start easy and then get into the meat of the sermon. Some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So now you have the fivefold ministry. Yeah, for the work of the minister, for edifying the body of Christ, to edify you. That is the fivefold ministry supposed to be doing. That's his responsibility. See, till we come into a unity of faith, again, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. So what we're trying to make out of you is a perfect woman and a perfect man. I'm okay with that, you know, because that's what God wants anyway. God is perfect. He's going to join perfection. He's not going to join something that is missing, something. So, but I'm glad that he's working that through the knowledge of his Son of God. A perfect man unto measure to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, Jesus was growing in stature and what? And wisdom. You are growing in measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ too. This is a daily thing. You know, we are growing. I don't care if you here or here or here, but you're still growing until Christ will appear in you. Amen. So we cannot stop. We cannot stop learning. We cannot stop being taught. We cannot stop reading, praying. We need to continue every day, because one day when we get to that end, then we are over here and we get to the unity. Paul keeps saying over here that we henceforth not be more children. Without wisdom, you're going to be tossed around. Wisdom is knowledge. Knowledge that of the truth of God, or the word of God. And that knowledge is revealed to you. And that's your understanding. You got knowledge. Knowledge without understanding gets you nowhere. I mean, you can tell me, well, I got the knowledge. I read the book. I can drive a car. You know, do you understand how to drive a car? Have you ever? No, but I know I can't do it. Well, you know, okay, I'm not going to get that with you. Find somebody else. But, you know. So, knowing how to do something, that don't mean you know how to do it. And that's the same thing with the Bible. We read the Bible, you know, and we get the knowledge of the truth is the Bible. We read the word, the word, the word, the word, but without the understanding of the word, what are you going to do with it? How can you dress yourself and you don't even know what they, you know, like a baby trying to put your sock, you know, in the left foot and the foot, the shoe of the right in the other side, you know. So we have to have understanding, and that comes through that knowledge. That's a revelation. So once you have knowledge, and I always said this and I will repeat it, and you got knowledge, you have a revelation, now you know what to do. Wisdom means I know how to do that. So you can dress yourself. And we are dressing you here. Say, by speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. By speaking the truth in love, always. Once we start being wiser, once we start getting better, once we start growing in the Lord, once we have wisdom, then love has to show. We're going to see this later on. All this fruit of the Spirit has to show. Amen. May grow up into him in all things. We're growing into who? Into Christ. So the same he has, we are going to have. Amen. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and is compacted, by the which every joint supplies. See, you know, God is building himself a bride, a church. And he's living, you are a living stone, not a dead stone, a living stone. So that's not your last name, Livingstone. You're not Jesus Christ Livingstone. That's a good last name. I don't have a middle name. My mom never gave me a middle name. So I should call myself Eli Livingstone Ortiz or something like that. I don't know what she was so disappointed when I was born, I guess. She already had a boy and she wanted a girl. She thought I was the girl. But disappointed, blah, came out and I said, boy. So she wanted to call her Elizabeth. She liked that name. So I disappointed her so bad that she said, Eli is the first three letters of Elizabeth. And then Eli Ortiz. That's it. My brother has three or four names. Carlos Manuel Ortiz Aguilu. My other brother has Ramon, Luis. And then it came to me, Eli Ortiz. Well, that's all right. I got a better deal anyway. Waiting for me in heaven because I got a new name. And it will be my perfect name. So I always think about that. Mom, what did you do? You're killing me, Kill me. Spanish people usually have three or four names, Nah. Anyway, neither here nor there. Let's go. From whom the whole body is joined together and compacted. Now, we are talking about that the stones are together with our tools. It was no tool in the building of the temple. It was no noise. This is God and you, and God and his body. Nobody knows what's going on. But God is bringing us together, and he's polishing each one against each other in such a way that at the end, not even, Brother Van said, not even a razor blade should go right through that. Do you know what that means? It is only God and God himself. Nothing else will go in there. Because that is what's going to join us. So nothing else. No the doctrine, no the thing. No the thing but God himself. The love of God, I think, is the glue that holds all things together. Amen. So jointly, fitly, by this which every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So, again, supplying. The head supplies, the body with whatever the head's supposed to do, and then this joint, supplies this one, and this one supplies this one, and this little one supplies, so that's what he's talking. As a body, we are supplying each other. He says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, God has given you a measure. God has given you a gift. And that gift is supposed to supply not yourself only. Right. See, you're getting supplied right now from this part. And then they're not supposed to for you to get big and fat and pretty. It's for you to then help the other joint. Help your brother and sister. Because that is how we are going to completely, be in one accord, in one unity. But, even down to our toes, We got to join in the knee and join in the ankles and all, whoever, and part. God is building this church from the bottom up to the head. And he are providing everything that we need. But you as part of the body needs to provide whatever God has called you to do. In what measurement he has called you to do, to supply. Do your part. Amen. Okay? You got to do your part. It is not. This is not all about you. This is about a body. So, God has given you gift and God has given you wisdom. So you can use this thing to supply whoever is down the line, from the head all the way down to the feet. Do your part. My heart is doing the part that he needs to do. If you stop doing it and say, I'm not going to church, I'm not going to do my part, all right then. Might as well just lay down here and die because we ain't going nowhere, right? So, every part supply, according to the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto edifying in itself in love. So, make it increase. So you are helping. This is not a one-man movement. This is a body, and we are helping each other to increase. Because if we all don't get there at the same time or whatever time, we all got to be there. It's not just me first, you second, and you third. As a body, we all need to be ready at the same time. And you got your part to play. Even if it's just coming to church and say amen to the world. If that's what God called you to do, then do that. Whatever. It doesn't matter how big or how small the measurement of your part is. Just do that. Amen. In the Bible, wisdom, as we're talking over here now, we're talking about, is an ability to discern, the ability to judge good from evil, see, and to live a life well by applying God's truth to daily choices that we make. So that's what wisdom in the Bible means. So, and James over here talks about four kinds of wisdom, four types. So the first one is earthly reasoning, an instinct, and philosophy. You know, that's logic. And that's the wisdom of this world. See? That's the first one he's talking about. But we're talking about Matthew 10:16. This is the worldly wisdom. Let's go to Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as a serpent. See? And you know the serpent, what the serpent represents, you know? And those are the children also. And harmless as a dove, see? So we are in this world, and Brother Doug already preached this thing. They hate you just because. He was preaching that the last time, right? So you have done nothing to anybody, you know? Suddenly everybody don't like you, see? But that is because who you are and what you are. And Satan is after you. Amen. Just because you became a Christian, that he just laid hands, you know, off of you, and then he's going to get to another part. No, he's still working. Emma, maybe I cannot get you to worship me, but I'm going to sure do the best to make your life miserable. Our brother was talking. He's trying to make your life miserable. But that's another story for another day. Because that do not make us less. Actually, that will help us to grow. But that's another thing for another day. Wisdom, see, but Matthew says to be in the midst of wolves. You know, it's a lot of hatred and violence in the world today. I mean, you can't even turn the news or anything. I mean, everything is just awful. In fact, it's getting worse. And I give you news, it's going to get worse than worse. This is not going to get better. It's just like Brother Doug said, you know, you leave things alone, the things alone don't get better. They get worse. And this world is not going to go back. This is the end. So here, a wolf is hatred, violence today. People even walking in the street, they get run by car. People in parades, they run. And then, I mean, sorry that I watch the news, because those news are no news. It's just awful. But I'm trying to stay with what's going on. But, you know, a woman had three children and she killed all three the other day. I mean, it's awful. The things that are going out there, and I don't want to bother you, you know, with these things, you know, because we want to learn something more happy than those things, those depressing things. But the world is all depressing, and it's getting worse. And they are just as wolves, and they go into churches in Africa, burning the churches, and in India, I mean, persecuting and killing and going, even the Jewish people, they go in the synagogue, and they're destroying. It's pure hatred. You know, here in America, at least we have a little bit of more, you know, going on discipline, but it's not going to be there. We're still seeing the things that is going on in America too, but against wolf and all this violence, see? So Jesus said, be ye therefore wise as a serpent. You know what a serpent is? A serpent is very silent, you know. He don't make a lot of noise, unless it's in the bushes. But usually he likes to sneak. And he will make no noise until he bites, and then you know he was there. See, they're very sneaky, you know, and they're very dangerous. See, but he says, be ye therefore wise as a serpent, wise silent, but also dangerous. Now, let me inject here what I think that represents to me. Jesus went to the cross and he never opened his mouth. He was beaten. He was they put a crown of thorns. They gave him lashes. They spit on him. They pushed him. They did everything, and they put him in the cross, and he never opened his mouth. He kept what? Silence. And with that silence, he conquered death. He conquered the hell, and he conquered the grave without a word. So sometimes that we need to learn. So sometimes we need to keep our mouths, because that's why we make problems worse, is when we speak too much. But I'm not going to give you a piece of my mind. Well, no, you can do that, but that is not that good of a mind, because I want the mind of Christ. I don't want your mind. There's nothing good come out of your mind. So just keep your mind. Now, you're going to give me a mind of Christ, give it to me. But silence, see? The only time that we saw Jesus, that he even actually broke silent, it was when he had to correct people. And that's okay if you're doing it with love. You know, mom and dad lost him. No. They said, we lost him. Well, you were lost. Christ wasn't lost. He knew where he was. 12 years old. He's talking at there. He's talking to the leaders, to the priests, and having a conversation and a discussion. Mom and dad shows off and say, son, what have you done? Your dad and I, just hold it. See? Because they're talking in front of the priest, and that's not the truth. Jesus knows what the truth was. Joseph was not the father. So you have to correct that error, because if it's not, it will keep on going. I told you he was the father, and they had it before. No. So he stopped and said, broke silence, and no. That's not true. So, to correct you, you know, I'm about my father's business. Joseph is not my father. So he breaks silence when he has to correct the word. Even Herod, when he was in his chambers, he's trying to talk to you. He said, do you know that I have the power to save you or to kill you or to, you know. And Jesus said, well, he opened his mouth. He hasn't opened his mouth. They have beaten him. They had tortured him. They have do the crown on all this stuff. He didn't open his mouth. They lashed him. Now in front of Herod, he says, I have the power to do this. He says, no. The only power you have is the power given by God. See, when you have to correct the error, so we will not continue. It is fine as long as you do it in love. And then you can break your silence. But before that, if somebody accuses you, somebody do anything to you and say don't go and open your mouth. Just keep silence and let God. Trust God. No, I'm just going to go and I'm going to fix this. No, you're going to make it worse. Keep your silence. Pray and ask God to help you. What he told the disciples, don't worry, don't even think, don't even plan what you're going to say when you get caught and they take you to jail and they take you to the magistrate. Don't even make a plan, one or plan B. When that time comes, I will give you words. Keep your silence until I, said the Lord, give you the words to speak. It will correct. The problem is that we are giving people, you know, a piece of our minds, and I'm going to tell you what I think. You know, we don't want to know what you think. I want to know what he thinks. So keeping silence to me means that you are more dangerous if you keep your mouth shut than if you open it. Because the more you open it, the more trouble you get into. And the more the situation gets worse. So if somebody do something to you, offends you, or whatever, just take him to prayer. Keep it in silence. You know, don't go and revile the person. And don't try to strain him out. That's God's job, not your job. So keeping silent is a good thing. You know, when you go fishing, you guys saw that fishing out there. I don't do much fishing, but anyway. You know how the fish die? By the mouth. And the more you open your mouth, the more Satan gets you hooked. See, if you don't open your mouth, you don't know what's going on. Satan will not know what's going on. Yeah, that's a saying in Puerto Rico. I had to translate it to English. El pez muere por la boca. If you open your mouth too much, the Satan will find out exactly what is in your heart. That's why he wants to know, I wonder if this is working or not. You know, the only way that I know that his things are working on your life is you. Every time you open your mouth to complain, you know, oh, it's working. It's working. So you know what? You have something with somebody, keep silent. Don't go and tell your brother and your sister, or why, just so they can pray with me. Just keep it in silence and pray about it. And when the time comes, if God's open your mouth, then speak. If not, you do better if you keep your mouth shut than opening your mouth. I don't know about that, brother. If I keep my mouth shut, I'll probably explode, you know. You know. Just contain yourself. The only way Satan can know what's going on in your life is when you complain. That's what Brother Doug was here the other day, was preaching, and he says, you know, this happened to my life. And he said, I don't like to talk about that, because when I do that, I have to give you the first and third and second, third, third pool. You know, sometimes, and that's what happens sometimes. You see a sister outside or a brother, and you say, how you doing? Well, I might as well sit there for a half hour. She's going to give you the first and second and third pool. And Satan is laughing. Wow, it's working. Keep him guessing. Do not be... Okay, this is not a silent treatment, you know. Don't do that to your wife. That's not what I'm talking about, silent treatments. But give Satan a silent treatment. Okay, I think I spent too much time with that. And be harmless as a dove, you know. I have a couple of doves that come to the house, about three of them this morning, and they're swinging in my... I have a light strand, and they come into the light, and they go down, and they like to peck in the floor, and the dogs, wow, as soon as they see that, they run outside, and they make this noise, man, they start, barking and jumping, and they cannot get to them, and the dogs are just sitting there. Silence, you know, they're not worried because he cannot get them. They know the dogs cannot do it, and the dogs are over making so much noise, I have to go outside and chase him out. But that's what a dove will do. It's so peacefully, and so that's what the dove represents, peace. You know, so be like a dove. You know, peaceful. Just be silent. Let the dog bark and Satan bark all he wants to, and don't try to. Okay, I know what to do. When the time comes, you will know what to do. Satan knows the boundaries. He can go but so far. And that dog, my two dogs, will never jump that high. And the dog knows that. So Satan cannot touch you unless God. So let him bark all he wants to. Let do it. Don't keep your mouth shut, because he wants to know if it's working or not working. Are you scared or not, or what happened? If you're scared, then I continue. But if not, then he has to go to his business, to go and scare somebody else. You know? Anyway, so Matthew is talking about this, to be wise as a serpent, but not be a wise person, a wise man, you know, or a wise woman. But you know what Jesus is trying to express with this? This is what I think he was trying to illustrate. Just keep your mouth. You know, if Satan would have known what Jesus Christ that came to do, to die for our sin, he would never kill him, but he never opened his mouth. He never went in the morning. You know, sometimes we get up in the morning and we find ourselves in the same situation again. I say, oh, God, how long are we going to? I've been praying. Well, yeah, you're told the whole word already. Just what don't you say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing. I feel better. It's a beautiful morning. Oh, but that's lying. That's not lying. That's confessing what is already yours. It's better than confess that, Lord, what's going on? What happened? I've been praying. Well, just keep your silence, because the more you talk, the more you lure in the hook for the kill, because that's what Satan wants. So, and that is the first wisdom, early wisdom. And then the next one is intellectual, you know, education. You know, I told you last time when we were talking about the mark of the beast that the children of Satan, they're very educated, scientists, intellectuals, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have nothing against to be educated, but that's not the way to find God, to education. But they think that that's their philosophy, you know, and that's their human experience. The human experience is based in, if I don't see it, if I don't touch it, if I don't feel it, it's not there. See, because that's what scientists said. I have to touch it, you know, like one of the disciples said, when I touch his hand and his wound, then I can't believe. We don't need to touch to believe. See, but it's saying over here that people that are intellectual and studies and they are educated, usually their experience is by seeing. But you and I, we don't walk by seeing. We walk by faith. See? And we're looking at the unseen. See, that's what faith is, looking at the unseen. The hope of the things that we want. So, however, I'm not against education. People have to have skills to do their work, you know, to feed themselves. I'm not saying that, you know, it is wrong to have an education. In this message, some people have gone too far with that. Anyway, but I'm not here to correct anybody. But if we go to Exodus 31, well, let's look at an example. God has predestined you to do certain work, but he also had to equip you, right? Okay. Exodus 31 says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. See? In understanding and in knowledge. I like that combination. Because wisdom is based on knowledge and the understanding on that knowledge will bring wisdom. That's a triology to me. It says, understanding in knowledge and in manners of what? Workmanship. To devise cunning works, to work in gold, in silver, and in brass. See, the ability to have a skill. You know, they were building the temple, in the desert anyway, they were down there. So, God gave them, see, God gave them wisdom and the skills to do all this stuff. And you have skills and you have certain education that God has given to you, you know. What? So you can help also the work. It's not only for you, but you guys, you're tithing. If you don't do nothing else, you're tithing. If you do nothing else, you support the church. You support the ministry. You support the pastor. You support the church needs when there is a need. So God has given you, allowing you to have a degree. I don't care. But that degree is for you to do a work that he already has predestined you. Not only out there to be a famous doctor or a famous lawyer, but also so you can do the work of God in the body of Christ. So I'm okay with that, you know. Even if you're just a trash collector. I mean, even if you just go around like brother Burrow, he goes around there and pull all the weeds. Now, who else is pulling the weeds? Nobody but just him. I only see him. Sometimes I see him before. But that's something that he feels God has given. Maybe it's not much, but it looks better out there, isn't it? But next time you see him, thank him because you didn't do it. And you're not out there sweating. Oh, but I know this brother, he sweats out there and he's coming to church and he's so sweaty there and he's so... Okay, but why don't you do it? And so he can rest. See, that was our mouth. He's the one that get us in trouble. So we appreciate the people that clean this church. I mean, you came in. Look at it. It's nice and clean and vacuum and the bathrooms. I mean, did you thank the people that cleaned the toilets for you? Well, God gave them that to do, to help. No, but, oh, thank you for, and that's nothing wrong, you know, for the deacons, yes, of course, and thank you for the trustees, of course, and thank you for the teachers, of course. We start from here, you know, and then we go the way, if we make it, thank you for the people that clean the temple. Let's start from the bottom, and then we work our way up, huh? Let's take the last one and put it first, because the last one will be first, and the first will be last. Switch them around. All this is wisdom I'm giving you. It took me a long time to acquire all this wisdom. Hebrews 5:4 says, the strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use of their senses, exercise to discern both good and evil. And that's what we are talking about. You know, wisdom is to judge, to do, to discern what's good. He says, but strong meat belongs to those that are full of age. See, we got to grow. Can you have, you know, a little baby don't even have teeth? You're going to give him some meat to chew? It's all right to be a baby, but not a 40-year-old baby. It's all right to baby and give him some peas, you know. Oh, my daughter hated peas when she was small. Every time I talk about peas, you know, that comes in that Gerber little jar, you know, I give him the stuff, that green stuff, and I will put it in her mouth, and she goes, oh, my mother. She hated the peas. And I don't like peas in my tacos either today. Anyway, but I like peas that are boiled in butter. Anyway, so a strong meat belongs to those that are full age. So sometimes what happens is that we don't want to chew. You know, Brother Doug took his gloves this last week. He went down from Easter to eggs to this and to Christmas and to all the holidays and to all this stuff that people do. And sometimes they miss church in Easter and they want to do this. And I'm not against and I'm saying that again. I think that it's good. You know, minister can tell them, you know, we need a strong meat. You want me to feed you milk and bread when I came over here this tonight? Your teeth are going to fall off if you don't get some meat. Because if you don't use this thing, you will never become a strong and a full age to start eating some good food yourself. Go home and chew on the message and chew on the Bible. Don't come over here and try to for us to spoon feed you. Because I will give you peace in the girls. I'll get you. You know, Brother Brown says, we got the medicine, and I tried to give you the medicine, and you just spit it back out. You should be able to feed yourself. And you should be able to take a strong meat. I'm glad. That's what I like, Brother Doug. He don't keep it simple. He give you strong meat. I mean, this past year, all these messages coming, if you cannot chew, I feel bad for you. Because you're going to be complaining about it. See? So when we come to church, you know, let the ministry take the gloves off. Now, if you start complaining, it's because you're looking for, oh, don't tell me about sin, or don't tell me that I need to do, see? Just tell me what I want to hear. And then when you leave here, you leave worse than you came in. Take the strong meat, because that is a sign of you are being discerning, you know, that you are growing, and you can also, and you have wisdom, you know? Now, fully, I mean, those who, by reason of use, their senses, see, exercise the discern. So, by eating, by chewing, by growing, you know, then you start exercising. You know, the worst thing is people that sometimes they're always tired, and they're always eating the wrong things, and then your brains are already fatigued when you come to church, you know, or you go home and you cannot read your Bible, you know, how can you grow? See? And it's the same thing spiritually. You know, if you don't feed, if you don't chew on meat, how can you grow and be strong and be able to discern things? So don't take it. Chew on it. And go home and chew on it some more, like brother said. Chew on it more. And let that become substance, you know, for you to grow, you know, in the Lord and come of a full age. See? Now, the other one, that type of wisdom is expertise. See? And what I mean in expertise is we all navigating through life. This is a journey. And we all trying to align ourselves with the truth of God. We like to the ability to do that always. But you have to become a more expert. You cannot stay all the time, every year, the same guy, same way. You know, I did my wall. But Carlos, in his house, he has a wall on a beam. And he measures his kids every year, every month. And I even went over and put myself now because I'm there. See, they can catch me. But anyway. And every year, you know, they want to see the progress. You know, and we want to see progress on you too. You know? We are not going to go like this and see how high you are in stature. But we want to know your wisdom, how much you have grown in wisdom. Or are you still the same way you was last year? You're still the same this year. Now you have to judge that. I'm not the judge of you. The word is the judge of you. Expertise. But when you start a job, and you do it in a job, that's what I understand. People do it out there all day long. You take a job and you start as at the bottom, you know. And then from there you start growing, right? And you start reading and start educating and you start learning. Then you become a journeyman or whatever the next step of that. But and then you continue because that is not your goal. Your goal is to grow as much as you can grow. You know, I don't want to just show myself. I want to grow as much as God has called me to grow. And that's know that at the measurement of Jesus Christ. That's a tall order. You know, we are not called to stay enanos, you know. Yeah, enano means short. Anyway, there's nobody short here. We are going to be tall. You know, our brother, Blanky, maybe. Not in a statue or that statue, but in the statue of a Christian, we should be growing tall. See? So, expertise, we should become experts in the message. Not wanting now milk and still trying to gather, you know, milk. And we should become experts. All the years that I've been here, 30 years, more or less or more, in this message, you know, I'm not down there no longer. I'm way up here. See, I know what I am. And you should know where you are, and you should gauge yourself every time. I mean, I'm not the one that's going to examine you. I'm not going to be called to see how you're doing and how far you're going. I'm not just prying on you to see you doing the right thing. You should examine yourself in the Word and see if you're producing the fruits and you're producing the Word at that level. Now, check yourself out this week. Think, where were you last year and where you are today? Did you get better? You still the same or you got worse? Have you grown in under this ministry? Not my Brother Doug ministry. Have you grown? If you know not grown, then what's the problem? It's not the ministry. People go up and down church to church and they still haven't grown anything. They go and they come back the same way they went. It's okay, you know, go and visit every church. I hope you do, and I hope you get something, and I hope you come better than you went. But what happened? They come worse than you. And then they want to leave again, and they want to leave again. Where's the growth? You think that is all we're here for, to run after? No. I come over here because I want to be better when I leave this place. I don't care if it's a tiny little bit, but a tiny little bit, 2 years, I'm going to get there. Gauge your own growth. We are not here to tell you what you're supposed to be, and we are not here to follow you and tell you what you're supposed to do. That's why you have a Holy Ghost in you. Wisdom, see, expertise. You will navigate through life, aligning yourself with the truth of God. You know, and you grow, and you keep growing until you get to full age. The next one, James talking about in James 3:15-17. Let me read it again. because this is a character trait. James 3:15 said, the wisdom descended not from above, the one that comes from below, not from above, but is earthly, sensual, evil, for where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. You know, some people, I've seen many people through my years coming to church, and when you see envy, when you see a strife, when you see confusion, then you know what's come next. That's not wisdom from, because the wisdom from above don't do that. But when you see that strife, and people are God is not a God of confusion. If people get in confusion because they are already so far into this that they don't even know what else to do, and they have messed things up that they cannot even say, sorry, make things right. We are not here to blame you. If you make things right, it's just like you never done it again. If God forgave you, we forgive you. That's the end of that. We can start all over again afresh. But once you let it go that far, that's what we tell you, you know, communion comes and make things right. You cannot grow. You cannot pass until things are right. You need to understand that is a stopper for many people. If there's any strife, if there's any envy, if there's any problem, if there's any offense, whatever it is, take care of it. Because that's how far you're going to go. Until we make things right. And you don't want to let it come to a confusion. When you let it go to confusion, the next thing is evil. Satan got you where he wanted to. Don't let it go that far. If you come to worship the Lord and there you find out that you bring in your sacrifice, the Bible said, and you there, you know that your brother has an art against you, leave the sacrifice there, go to your brother, make it right, and come. And God will not accept your worship and your praising when there's art. And that don't mean that you did something against him. That means that he has something against you, and you know that he has something against you. It's not your fault, but you know he has, and you won't make it right neither. But the Bible says you go and make it right. It's his responsibility, and he's the one that his duty to come and make it right with you. But see, God is backwards, if you want to call him. You go and make it right. You know? And then we can continue growing. Never let anything come to confusion. It's too late. You let it make that far. If something is confusing and you don't know what's going on, just go and talk to your pastor, talk to whoever you need to talk to. Just clear the confusion. Because we cannot worship with confusion. And people go, we cannot even praise the Lord. Even if one of you are in confusion, don't let it get that far. Because the next thing that happens is you don't see the person no more in church. Because the devil will have done his part. So that's the demonic. That's the wisdom from below. What it is, that wisdom from below is rejecting the word of God. That's all. Not doing what God expects us to do. And that's what brings confusion and strife and bring all this evil work. Because that is in the flesh, and that's a fruit of the flesh. Because that is the fruit that is in the heart. It is not what goes in what defiles a man. It's what is in the heart that comes out what defiles a man. And wisdom from below, it comes out of the heart, below, not from there, from the heart, from the earth. So let's work on that. Let's never do that. Never even entertain the wisdom of this world. You don't want to get into that. The wisdom of this world will not get you too far. I tried it. I lived it. You know, until I got to the point where I was down and out. I made the hole so big that I couldn't even crawl out until God came and rescued me. And that's the wisdom of this world. You think you're doing okay? No. Because the wisdom of this world is Satan's wisdom. But the wisdom of above says the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's very sincere. Are you open and sincere and transparent with your brother and your sister? See, that's wisdom from the top. See? Pure, then peaceful. At peace with one another. At peace with the world. At peace with everybody. And you don't care what they've done to me. Just keep your mouth. Be peaceful. And then it says gentle. Don't be rough. Be kind. Easy to be entreated. We read this one earlier. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. That is the wisdom of above. See, in Galatians says, 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, because that is the wisdom of God. That's above wisdom. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness is being humble, and temperance being patient. You know, being persistent. Not one day here and then today not here. You know, be persistent. Now I read my Bible once a month or once. No, be persistent. Do it every day and pray it every day. Persistent. Be in control. Against such, there is no law. Listen, there is no law. You can go ahead and love me as much as you want to. I won't take you to jail. There is no law. You can be happy. Go ahead and be happy and laugh. There is no law. The police is not going to come and take you to jail because you're laughing too much, unless you own something. But, you know. I always have to be careful when communion and we drink, you know, the wine. And sometimes, in those days, sometimes they have roadblocks, you know. Well, one time it was a roadblock in Arvinon going that way. And the police is going to ask me, sir, how you doing? Have you have anything? Have you been drinking? And then you cannot lie, right? Yes, well, of course. I was in church anyway. But they're not going to arrest you, you know. Listen, you can be gentle as you can. But there's law for stealing. There's law for reviling. There's law for killing. There's all a law for all that. But not for the spirit, see. So you get in trouble and you broke the law of God, not the spirit law. Galatians 5:16, this I said, then walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? If we walk in the Spirit, that's what Paul asked of, walk in the Spirit and you'll be wise. See, don't walk in the lust of the flesh, because the wisdom of the flesh is bad. Period. You know, lust means the desire of our heart. You know, the feelings. We don't go by feelings. We don't go by emotions. We don't go by what the world is saying to do. We just go by God, says to them. Galatians 2:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 2:2 says, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, that spirit, that wisdom of the world is the spirit of Satan working, and we know that. That's why the world is so chaotic at this point. But here, I read you this one too, 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, that means Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is in me by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I got the wisdom of God in me. Or I have to let that go, let that come out, you know. It's all we have to do. You don't need to do it to yourself. You already have it in you. Just surrender to the wisdom of God. Amen. And then James 1:5, it says, is any of you lack wisdom? Ask for it. God wants to give it to you more than what you want it. Because you know, without it, you cannot progress. Without it, you cannot grow. Without it, you're stuck. And there's only two wisdom. Either you in here or here, you know. There's not just like I'm in the middle, so or no. Either it's God's wisdom or it is the wisdom of the world. See, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that give to all men, abundantly. I mean, here, you want it? Hey, God, how much do you want? It's depend on you. And unbraided. Not, he's not going to just give you something to choke you back, no, to hold you. It's for you to progress and to grow. See? Now the world will hold you back. Satan will like to hold you. And that's the wisdom of the world. You think you're progressing in the world? No. You know, you might be the horse that is winning today, but tomorrow you have a faster horse that passes you, and now you never become, yeah, you're second. And then next day you get another horse faster than you, and with time you are in the back. And that's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world, I don't care what I need to do. If I had to step on you in order for me to go forward, they don't care. But that's not God's wisdom. God's wisdom always look for one another in love. See? The wisdom of above is the ability to see life from his point of view. That's the wisdom of God. Not from the world point of view, Satan point of view, but his word, from his point of view. And that's the journey that we on. See, because we have the mind of God. See? And he's the one that is showing us the way. And he's the one that is giving us the gift, and this gift, and this fruit, humble and peace. See, we have all that already in us, if we have Christ in us. And we can then, having that, we can discern what's right and wrong. And that's what wisdom come in to play. That you no longer have to do nothing against God. If you can discern the two spirits. See? How can you live if you cannot discern the two spirits, Satan's spirit and God's spirit? But she will discern the two spirits at the end. Amen. But that takes wisdom. Now, I'm almost done. I was going to finish in 10 minutes here. I'm not going to hold you too long. More. Now, I want to introduce the thought, because I'm going to continue with this next week. I hope Brother Doug said that doctor told him 10 days. He has to keep his tongue shot in the mouth. Because he had a little thing taken out of the abscess or something, taken out for a biopsy. So he needs, the doctor said you need to keep yourself from, I don't know how he's going to do that, the preacher. Jennifer, let me know how that goes. How he keep his mouth shut? Okay. I hope he's not on listening now. Okay, let me finish this so I can let you go. There are seven pillars of wisdom according to the Bible. Seven pillars, you know. Proverbs 9:1, I want to read this one. I want to say this for next week. Wisdom has built her house. Interesting. Wisdom had built, it's her. It's not him. It's her that has taken wisdom and built her house. Wisdom has built her. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has done that. The bride has done that. Now, the seven pillars, I want to, over here in, I want to go to first Job 28:28. I'm going to start right there because I'm going to tell you the seven, and then we are going to make a few comments, and I'm going to stop there. Job 28:28, and unto a man he says, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. That's the first pillar. Remember what was in Ephesian church? That was the first church, you know? What God has against her, against the Ephesian church? You left your first one, love. So that was the first pillar. See, I want to illustrate that going to the 7-8 churches. Brother Brown says always keep the seven together, keep the two, keep the three together, always. The first pillar was the first age. And what God had on them is that they departed from the truth. They left the first love. Psalm 1:10 said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and God understanding. Have all they that do his commandments, his praises endure forever. So, the first thing is to love God and love, like Brother Brown says, to love Jesus is to love a revival, to love a spiritful revival. That's what Brother Brandon said. Living your first love is that they decided to live, you know, a Holy Spirit revival. And the second thing is to obey his commands. That's the second pillar. And the third pillar is Proverbs, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3:17 says, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge, but the fool despises wisdom and instruction. See? When they start getting, the seven, eight churches went further and further, they got more and more and more into darkness. See, the knowledge of God was rejected completely. I'm going to read you what Brother Brown says, so I want you to, when you leave here, you leave clear or trying to introduce you. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy, understanding. Amen. And 5, the Proverbs says, 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom and before honor and humility. That will be another pillar. Isaiah 11:2 says, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel. See? And the spirit of knowledge. That is six. And then 7, Isaiah 33:6, in wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of that time and strength of our salvation. Now at the end said, the fear of the Lord is what? Her treasure. That's your seventh pillar. And she is his treasure. She is the mystery that's been hidden. A treasure is something that's been hidden. It says, but in the seventh age, this mystery shall be what? Revealed. And the treasure is her. So now listen to what Brother Brown said. I don't want to make any comment, but I want you to listen to what Brother. There's a man that here that can turn the light. When a man is in foundry, is making a bell, you know, he got a certain tone to put in it, certain different sound. When he set in his mold and putting out his iron, he put in so much brass, so much steel, and so much copper. Why? He knows what exactly how much to put in to make and give the right tones. Okay? And then what Jesus has done, his bride, now listen, by his bride, he had put so much Luther, okay, first age, and he has put so much what? Second age, right? Oop, stay there, don't sleep. And so much what? Presbyterians, that's the third. And he has put so much Pentecost, that was the second last. And then he said, but what does he comes out with? His own reflection. So God has been building a bride for seven ages to reflect himself. It will be him in her reflecting, reproducing himself. He said, what is just like a pyramid message? Yeah. And I said, I will not preach pyramid message. But she says, what is it? Just like a pyramid message. And this is what I want to get next week. You see, it is a heaping right up. This come into the minority, starts in the minority in the bottom, and then it ends with the headstone. The ministry of Jesus Christ on earth has to be the same as the ministry he had or cannot come to it. At the end, the same ministry, it will be him in flesh. Before we leave here, before we leave, you know, those 30 or 40 days, I don't know how many days are we, but God is going to put her in display. And God is going to say, this is what I meant all this year. This is what I meant by. The ministry of Jesus Christ on earth has to be the same as the ministry that he had. If that don't happen, we ain't going anywhere. If this bride, this local portion of the bride, don't come to that point that we will see the same miracles and super and the thing that we had, and you will do greater work, right? So we're not sitting down here just to enjoy in the church. I'm waiting for that day that Christ himself will appear. Yeah. in a group, and all these things will happen. Then it's time to leave. So we're not here wasting time. God is building a church. He says, heaping right up, he says, the ministry of Jesus on earth has to be the same as the ministry he had. Same Christ had, but more, because we are more. He says, he cannot come to it just like the head to the feet. The head packs the feet and make the feet tell where to go. See, he started building from the first edge, from the feet. You get it. Beautiful. So he cannot get in. He was saying he cannot come down. The capstone cannot come down and copper until we are all the way to the top. The other group already came. They're waiting on us to come to that point that God will manifest himself into the people like he did with Jesus Christ. Listen, there's no different. Jesus Christ was yesterday, still today, the same in you, and he has to do the same thing. And the whole journey is to reproduce, to reflect him that was reflected in the earth. Just like the head and the feet, if it is not head, beautiful. You get it? Beautiful. I hope you get it. But it's the light of the hour. See, Wesley was a great light, like he said it. He said to John the Baptist, he was great light for his hour. Sure, he was. No, yes, sir. The clink rang, I don't know what he's talking about, or the dirty rags yesterday. If you remain that way, it will just become dirty rags all the time. It serves his purpose as clothing. I hope you're understanding what he's saying. I don't want to go back and do the whole thing, but if we have to, we do it next week. But now, it's come to paper. Justification served its time. Justification Luther, it was the beginning on the Luther. Then it had to become sanctification to Wesley. And then sanctification served the time. Then it became the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost serves its time. Until the Holy Spirit, which they are only one God, blend into the church and the church into Christ. And it made Jesus Christ reflected in earth. What he promised here in the Bible might not believe it. I cannot make you to do that. I am not responsible for the word, see, to tell you about it. One more and I finish. It says, just like like the pyramid growing up, Luther, First Reformation, Wesley, Pentecost, these are the pillars, you know, that we were talking about, and now being home right into it. For when the headstone comes back to the pyramid, it will have to fit like the rest of it. You cannot even run a knife, a blade through it. It's all God. It's perfect. See, that's what I told you. You can nothing, cannot have anything else but God. And so will the ministry in the last day will be so close. Now, how many of you think that we are there already? Well, I like to think that we are, but maybe it's not happening here, but it's happening someplace else. Just because it's not happening here, that means it's not happening. We need to get cut out. It has to happen. We are not just coming to church to hear a beautiful sermon. If this thing don't produce, if this message don't produce what it's supposed to produce, I'll be disappointed. So God is producing himself, reproducing himself in you. How long? We don't got that much time. What are we waiting for? Somebody to wake us up? Wake up. It's time to go. Okay, I'm ready. No, you are not. Because until this happens and the manifestation of his spirit in the church, the bride becomes, says, like you, a hand being the your hand being the positive. Yeah, he's talking about using the hand as an example. The shadow of your hand being a negative. As they become, after a while, they become one. See, that's the shadow and the shadow. And that's what we are today. God is becoming flesh. Full flesh again. Bride becomes the Christ to become one. Like any man and wife. See, she is coming right down to the last days. And we are trying to live
in the glare of another day. See, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is perfectly identified perfectly in Hebrews 39. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we live back in Luther age, we look right back here and in this age, we see exactly in the Sardis age that Luther was the messenger, just exact, with the horse, then went out with the rest of it, went into that age. We find that Wesley, see, is going through the pillars again. Wesley, the Philippian age, we find the great revival age that went forward, brotherly love. We find Wesley exactly in place where the Bible says he was. We find today just where he said he was. It is the hour, the time we are living. Listen, those Greeks failed to see him. We like to see Jesus, they told the disciples. They wanted to see him. But what they saw, they didn't believe that was. They wanted to see something different. Why? See, sir, we now see Jesus. They failed to see him because he was clothed in human temple. So what do you think he's doing today? He's clothed in human temple. The world cannot see that. But you can. Because you're supposed to come to that climax. It's no longer you, but it's you are a human temple, like Jesus was a human temple of God. It's exciting times. I'm not fretting or sad. I'm glad because I'm sick of Eli already. You know, I'm sick of myself. I'm so sick of myself that I want a body change. Or why not, if it's possible? I don't want to live another 5, 6 years, you know. I like my body change right now. I know you kids, man, you got a whole life again. Listen, don't worry. This life is nowhere compared to that life. Maybe you might complain that, you know, my football and my school and my this and my that. But if the change happened, you will forget about it. In fact, you wouldn't even remember that you were here. No. He said, see, we will see Jesus. They failed to see him because he was clothed in human temple. So when you look at your brother and your sister, what are you seeing? Faults? A human flesh? Or you seeing God in his temple? And if you cannot see it, you think that people are there going to see it? We should be able to see each other as children of God. They failed to see him because he was clothed in human. God in a man. Human flesh was what blinded them. And what do you think are blinding people today? Well, they call you all kind of things when you say, God is in me. I am a reflection of God because, you're trying to make yourself a God or Jesus or what? Well, that's what they did to Christ the same way. Failed to see him because he was closing human temple. God has created a temple from the first age to this age so he can make his abode in the temple. And this is the last part of it. So this is when the temple finally, the body takes and become alive. This is so much exciting time because all that they spoke, all the prophets and everything has been preached. Here we are. You are that part. I think I'm excited already. They failed to see him because he was closing human breath. Human flesh was what blind them. They could not understand. You being a man, make yourself God. See, that's what people say. Oh, that's what they told him. See, but wait until they get sick and wait until everything starts and they're going to need some help. They will come to you because they know they see something different in you. I mean, in our own families, they know there's something different. My father, I tried to minister. He already passed away. Tried to talk to him. He was already 90-some years old, so he's still in another age. But, you know, he was trying to know what I was doing, why I was believing and doing what doing. Before he died, you know, the last time I went to see him, he says, Eli, he says, yeah, I see something different in you. And I got two other brothers. I said, but, and he's been a religious man for years. And he said, and God used him. He has gifts and everything. And he said, I see something different in you. So the people will notice. If it's there, it's there. You being a man, you make yourself God or equal to God. Now one more. Now then, there will be a camp meeting of the saints upon the bread of the earth. And Satan is loosed out of his prison and goes to make war again with the saints, just exactly what he done in glory to begin with. The fight started in glory and it's going to end in earth anyway. And then God rains fire and brimstone out of heaven, and the whole earth is going to be removed like I just burn up and destroy. And there's no more sea, no more water, no more nothing left on the earth. Volcanic will spray and burst and blow on the whole thing. See? And I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city descending from God from glory. You know that you are the city? You are the city that he is. That he's in. He says, pass away, and Joseph, descending from God on heaven, bride adorned for her husband. Remember, in this bride, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's his finished work, finally. God back again in the tabernacle of men. And then he's going to rule the earth. Yeah. For a millennium. And God shall dwell with them upon the pyramid-based city, 1,500 square miles, and in the top of the city there will be light. Amen. Stand. Thank you for being so patient with me. I'm not the best reader when it comes to English, so you have to follow. That's why we put those things there, so you can follow them, my God. And don't listen to me. I mean, you know, listen to me, but I mean, when I'm reading. It's exciting times. And the wisdom of God is going to take us there. But you need to figure out where you are. And you need to figure out where you want to go. And then you have to figure out how you're going to get there. If you have to surrender your life to God. If you need the one that is going to lead you and guide you, the Spirit of God, because without it, you won't know which way to go. Okay? God has made ways. You know, you don't have to do it by yourself. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for being so good to us, Father. We're just such a blessed people, Father, knowing that you love us so much, Father. You could have not even looked at us or called us, but you chose us, Father. You loved us and you cleansed us with your blood and you filled us with your spirit and you put us on that rock of revelation. And Father, you went that far, but you're going to go even further, Father. You're going to abide in your people forever and ever. That is the mansion that you have built. In my mansion is many houses. We are the houses, and you going to be in the midst of that place. You went to prepare. Father, we thank you and we love you for your word. We love you, Father, for the wisdom, Father, that you have given us, the wisdom that comes from above, Father, so we don't have to be worried. We can be peaceful. We can be gentle with one another. Wisdom that produces the fruit of the Spirit, Father. Joy and happiness, Father. And meekness. Father, that is what we want. We want you to reproduce yourself in us. And we have the way to do it. We have you. Father, all we have to do is surrender our life. Father, do unto me, as Mary said, as you have spoken, Father. We surrender our life. We surrender everything to you, Father. Do as you will please, Father. Shape us, make us, transform us, Father, to your image, from glory to glory to glory, Father. We want to be there one of these days, Father. Not only for a day, for an eternity, Father. And you will be our Father. You will be our light, Father. We thank you tonight for the musicians, Father. We thank you for those that came and those that are listening. I ask a blessing, a special blessing to those, Father, that are listening and those that are here, Father, that you, the rest of this week, Father, we just continue meditating and and chewing, Father, on this word, and let that word become flesh, because that is what, when we eat, that food becomes part of us. And this word, Father, this week, as we may, let that word become part of us, right? So it can be reflected, manifested, Father, because that is your purpose. Father, thank you again. We love you, and we thank you. Be with our brother, Baker, Father, and we ask you again to restore him quickly. And because when one is not here, we miss. When one suffers, we all suffer, Father. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your care during the week. Thank you for protecting us. Father, thank you for just loving us, Lord, and caring for us, Father. Father, now as we are ready to depart from one another, not from your presence, take us home, safe and sound, Father. And we want to pray, Father, that if it's another Sunday, Father, and my brother Andy is preparing, Father, use him, give him words of life, and use him, anoint him mightily, Father, so we can receive from the throne of heaven straight to our hearts, Father, through him, Father. Father, we thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, Father, we appreciate everything you do and you continue and you will do for us. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen and amen. Rock your